Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:15 now, hot, humid today, chance for showers, going to be that way through the weekend. Measly became used vernacularly to mean something small, meager, or contemptible, but actually it's anything but. That always did strike me as odd, considering the dangers that measles can present themselves with, some of the dangers they can cause. Fred Lopez joins now. Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. How you doing, Dr. Fred?
Good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay. That always did kind of make me scratch my head about, you know, this, one measly that, when measles is, in fact, nothing to be taken for granted, right?
Not at all. And I think it's important to emphasize that before a vaccine became available in the early 1960s, about 400 to 500 people died from measles in the United States each year, almost 50,000 people hospitalized. Lots of complications, including pneumonias and ear infections, as well as brain swelling in some people. So this is not a measly disease by any account. And unfortunately, we're experiencing a resurgence in the United States currently.
I don't remember if I had measles or not, but do you get measles even if you are vaccinated, or do you just get a lesser case of them sometimes?
Yeah, so a very good point. The vaccine is extremely effective. One dose of the vaccine, 93% effective at preventing measles. Two doses, 97%. And currently, the vaccine recommendations in the United States are for two doses. The first one typically given to children 12 to 15 months of age, and the second one given at the age of 4 to 6 years. And again, two doses, 97%. Effective. So, yes, some people will still develop measles after getting those two doses. It will be an extremely small number. But even if you develop measles after getting two doses, your illness should be less severe and you're less likely to transmit the measles virus to other people who may not be immune to it.
I don't remember myself, you know, if I had measles or got vaccinated or not, obviously, because I was, you know, Dr. Fred, I'm close to 30 years old. That was a long time ago. But I know my kid who is 28, which is interesting given my time frame. Anyway, never had measles and was fully vaccinated. What's going on in the country with measles cases, and can you define it by region, or are there some areas worse than others?
Yeah, well, you know, there are multiple outbreaks going out throughout the United States. The big one is the one that we heard about in Texas, and that's where many of the cases have derived from this year. But the numbers so far this year are pretty staggering, almost 1,300 cases, in fact, 1,288 cases reported as of midweek by the CDC. That's the most in the United States since the year 2000, when the disease was declared eliminated from the United States. So a very high number. Prior to this year, the most number of cases we had seen since the year 2000 was 1,282 cases. So already in just about half of this year, we've exceeded the largest number of measles cases since the year 2000. And, you know, there's still obviously a lot left to go this year. And there is some concern that we might lose our elimination status for measles if this outbreak and outbreaks elsewhere continue.
Wait, say that part again, Dr. Fred. There's a chance that we might what?
we might lose this status of elimination. So the definition of eliminated, so you'll hear this often said that measles was eliminated from the United States in the year 2000. It doesn't mean that we don't see cases, but the cases that we see are typically in people who haven't been vaccinated. They travel to other parts of the world where they get infected with measles because measles is endemic in many other parts of the world. And then they come back and they have measles, and there may be a case or two spread from that individual, but it doesn't consistently spread. Elimination is defined as basically there's no continuous spread of measles for more than a year. And the United States has had that status since the year 2000. It was almost an issue in the year 2019 when we had all of those cases that we just surpassed. And so there is a concern that we might lose that designation with this year's numbers that we're seeing. It doesn't change any of our approaches to measles, which is primarily vaccination. I just mentioned those really impressive immunity rates that are derived from getting two doses of measles vaccine. That's really the answer to preventing measles and containing it so that we can maintain our elimination status in this country.
Politics and science always make for strange bedfellows, and I'm getting the text here right now. Dr. Fred Lopez, our guest, by the way, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. A lot of texts coming in saying how many of these people are illegal immigrants that are bringing measles into the country, but I would hazard to guess the same people that are texting that in would also support RFK Jr., although he has backtracked on his measles vaccine. So the only point I'm trying to make, and I'll leave Dr. Fred out of this, is that you can't, from a scientific standpoint, be anti-vaxxer or blame it on the immigrants that are coming in that are unvaccinated, because you got to pick a side, right? 7:20 more, we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:24 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Dr. Fred Lopez about measles outbreaks. Texas, I guess, is the worst place. And again, I'm getting a text from people saying, is it unvaccinated immigrants? I don't know if there's any data on that, but I can tell you that you can't be anti-vaxxer with RFK and anti-immigrants, unvaccinated immigrants coming into the country. You got to look yourself in the mirror and figure out what it is that you believe. Dr. Fred, somebody texted in and wants to know about, I was immunized as a child for measles. Does it require a booster at any point, or is it one and done?
Actually, best is to get two doses. So particularly if you're going to find yourself in a high-risk setting, for example, you're traveling internationally where, again, measles is endemic in countries that many people travel to, including some countries in Europe, for example. So if you're traveling internationally and you've only had one dose, I would say go ahead and get a second dose to increase the efficacy of the vaccine to 97% in preventing measles. If you work in a healthcare setting, that would be another setting where you'd want to have two doses. But one dose, again, is 93% effective at preventing measles. So you're pretty well protected. But if you want optimal efficacy, two doses is what you should get. And, Tommy, I will share with you a statistic about who's getting the measles in the United States. 92% of the infections so far this year have occurred in people who are unvaccinated or have unknown vaccination status. That really speaks to the importance of measles vaccination. Hospitalizations this year so far in about 13% of all cases, and 21% if you happen to be a child less than 5 years of age. And there have been 3 confirmed deaths this year. So again, vaccination, extremely effective. Talk with your healthcare provider to make sure that you've received the appropriate number of doses, which currently universally recommended in this country is 2 doses of the measles vaccine for children 12 to 15 months of age. First dose, 4 to 6 years of age. Second dose, if you haven't gotten those doses and you're older, you can get the 2 doses. They just have to be given at least 28 days apart.
Well, what if you're like me and you're close to 35 and you don't remember what you had and what you didn't have?
Yeah, there are blood tests to determine if you're immune, although they're not always recommended for people. And so oftentimes your healthcare provider may just go ahead and give you another dose of vaccine. There's no harm in receiving that as long as your immune status is intact. This is a weakened version of a live virus, so we don't give it to people whose immune systems are impaired, who are pregnant, for example. And another contraindication to getting the vaccine would be if you have any history of allergies to components of the vaccine. But otherwise, this getting another dose, even if you're fully vaccinated, isn't going to cause any harm.
So let's talk about the disease itself. There is no cure for it, right? It's a virus. So what's going to happen if you get the measles? What could happen?
Yeah, so typically you get exposed to somebody who's infected. They're coughing, sneezing. It's an airborne virus. You inhale it. And then typically around 7 to 14 days after exposure to that virus, you're going to develop some classic symptoms: high fevers, cough, runny nose, red watery eyes. Those are the first symptoms to appear. About 2 to 4 days after that, you might notice some little white spots in your mouth that we call coplex spots. And then shortly thereafter, you get this very characteristic red rash. It's a flat rash that develops first on the face and then travels to the rest of your body. And that's the typical presentation of measles. The problem is that you can develop complications from the measles, including diarrhea, pneumonia, brain swelling. And unfortunately, 1 to 3 out of every 1,000 children, for example, who become infected with measles will die from either lung or neurologic complications. So this is, as you mentioned at the get-go, this is not a measly disease by any stretch of the imagination. And to have a vaccine that's so efficacious, we really need to push on it and make sure everybody's received it. One of the issues is for herd immunity to be achieved, we need typically greater than 95% coverage of with vaccines of a community. In the last data that I saw in 2023-2024, kindergartners had only been vaccinated at a rate of about 93%. So we're below herd immunity for our kindergartners against measles, and that certainly isn't helping disrupt the spread of the measles virus, particularly in communities that are under-vaccinated.
Thank you, Dr. Fred. Appreciate your time. Dr. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. For the record, for those of you texting in, look, we all want an enemy. We all want a boogeyman. We all want somebody to blame something on, right? The Texas outbreak was originally centered in a rural Mennonite community with a lower vaccination rate, and most of those affected have been children and teenagers, nearly all of whom were unvaccinated or had an unknown vaccination status. And from there, it spread to people whose parents decided not to have their children vaccinated. That from the Texas Health Department. Believe what you want. Blame who you want. I'm just telling you what the Texas Health Department is saying. 7:30, time for WWL First News. 7:44, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member, fellow Shaw graduate. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm doing well, Tom. How you doing?
I'm all right. Tell me what's going on in the French Quarter with garbage.
Well, there's a lot going on in the French Quarter with garbage. Yesterday, I proposed legislation that would basically terminate the mayor's emergency declaration to allow Henry Consulting to be the sanitation service provider for the French Quarter. Excuse me. Basically, the mayor said there is an emergency in the French Quarter. There is no sanitation provider July 31st, August 1st, there won't be someone to pick up the trash. Therefore, she believes that that's an emergency, and she tried to allow Henry Consulting to start on August 1st. That's the emergency. Well, the problem is the emergency was started by the mayor. Early this year, late last year, IV Waste was selected in a low bid process to be the sanitation provider for the French Quarter.
Did you say low bid or no bid, Freddie? I just want to be clear.
Low.
Low bid. Okay,
L-O-W. Low bid.
Gotcha. Okay.
That contract extends until the end of the year. A couple months ago, the mayor, out the blue, decides to terminate that contract with City Torres. So that is the emergency that she is saying causes her to now give Henry Consulting the trash contract starting July 31st / August 1st. The same law that she is citing that gives her that ability also gives the city council the ability to terminate the declaration when we feel that there is no real emergency. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did yesterday. I stand firm with the people, the businesses, the visitors of the French Quarter, and saying we have a proven commodity in IV waste. So we want to continue to have IV waste play out this contract for the year, and we move forward from that. I don't understand what's the big rush, what's the sense of urgency to grant this contract to someone else when you have everyone saying, let's stay the course, let's stick with IV waste, we like what we see, there is no one complaining. So I don't understand the knee-jerk reactions or the sense of urgency to change course.
I don't understand why the mayor didn't accept IV waste or what her rationale is. And you're a lawyer. Maybe you can walk us through this or her rationale for saying that it should.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couldn't be IV waste. Do you know where that's coming from at all?
I don't know. What I'm understanding is she believes that Henry deserves the contract because Henry was selected by the group that makes that selection, that the council is not involved in that selection process. Mm-hmm. However, this all started, I want to be very, very clear, this all started because Mr. Alvin Richards, who was the subcontractor, came to the council. We didn't go to him. Mm-hmm. He came to the council and sat before the council and said, I'm being unfairly treated. This is documented. This is recorded in public record. I'm being unfairly treated as relates to finances with Henry Consulting. I would like for the council to take a look at this. We did our own investigation.
The subcontractor went to the council. You didn't subpoena him. Yes. He went to the council and said, look, I'm being unfairly treated by, what's the name of the company?
Henry Consulting.
Henry Consulting, like, okay. And he asked the council to do what?
To investigate it, to step in, and to look at it. That's what we did. We realized that certain things weren't adding up because you had Richard's disposal. They were going to be the subcontractor to pick up the trash in the French Quarter out the blue. He was switched for a Metairie-based company who didn't own pickup trucks, who was subbing their portion of the contract to a North Louisiana company. So the council said, none of this smells right. This is a bit fishy. We're going to have an emergency. The city should have an emergency contract to pick up trash in the French Quarter. We can't make heads or tails of what's really happening with this contract that was awarded to Henry Consulting. In comes IV waste. And they have been doing a great job starting January 1. And every step of the way, the mayor / administration has been doing things to try to halt the trash contract with IV waste. Going against the wishes of everyone in the French Quarter, the visitors, the residents, the business owners, the employees, the street, the hospitality worker, mm-hmm. industry employees say, look, we never seen it this clean. So I just don't understand, and I'm doing my best not to speculate and connect dots, but I am human, so my mind questions certain things. What is the rush? But what I can tell you and the residents is that, and the businesses, that I'm going to stand firm in my position. This is not picking one side over the other. I have no personal relationship with anyone involved. I just see the need to continue with providing the French Quarter, which we all can agree is the economic engine of the state, with the best sanitation service that it can get. And right now, based off what I'm being told, based off what I see and what I smell, that is IV waste.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. He does a lot of work with the youth in the city. I want to talk about something he's got coming up as well, in addition to the trash mess in the French Quarter. Although it's not a mess, because IV Waste is doing a hell of a job. Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. 751, 9 till 7, traffic, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 55, 5 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Councilman Freddie King. As I mentioned, a Shaw graduate, as am I, Troy Duhon, Pat Connick. I got a lot of us hanging around. Freddie, one thing I admire you for is you're a successful guy, you're an attorney, but, and I don't want people to roll their eyes as I say this, you know what it's like to grow up as a young black man, and I don't think I do, or I don't think people of my ilk do. So tell me what it is that made you successful and what it is that you try to do with people that are young and black and growing up and facing immense challenges in the city.
Sure, Tyler. Several things that helped me become the man I am today. One is my father. Maybe the biggest influence is seeing my father go to work every day, take care of me and my siblings, coach at the local playgrounds, take care of his community. And that's one thing that I do to this day, and that I do today. And mm-hmm. I think to be a man, you need to see a man. And that's why I do so much with kids. And that's just not me. I'm having an event later this month, but I'm inviting men in the city, not superstars, not athletes, not entertainers, just regular 9-to-5 hard working men who don't always, get in front of the cameras and beat their chests, tell them what they do. We're going to go to the Basin Street Station, to the rooftop, and have a sit-down conversation with several young men in the city. I invite schools. I invite different mentoring programs to come out and share with these young men and tell them what the real side of being a man is, not with the social media shows, not with the television shows, but how it's not easy to get up every day and go to work, how it's not easy to go to undergrad, go to law school, go to medical school and put those countless human hours in to perfect your craft. Everything now is quick, fast, and easy. And my goal is just to show the young men, the young women, the young people in the city that anything working hard for, anything that comes easy is not worth it. Anything that takes time and hard work, you'll be rewarded in the end, and you'll be proud of yourself.
I don't mean taking anything away from the black community at all, but I'm beginning to wonder if we're not kind of getting away from that with everybody wanting everything so easy and seeing what's on TV and thinking that it's either lifestyles of the rich and famous or nothing, and that they don't realize that America is not about, you know, a luxury car, this, that, the other thing. America is about getting up every day, going to work, taking care of your family. Hopefully you can take a vacation every now and then if you can afford it. And that's just life in America. And like it or not, that is what reality is. That's the point you're trying to get across, is it not, Freddie?
That's the point I'm trying to get across. I'm a perfect example of that. My dad worked at LTI, Bridge City Juvenile mm-hmm. Jail, for 25 years. He worked. He would get up, bring me to school, go to work. Or he would get up. He would come home from Bridge City, come to Algiers, pick me up, bring me to Marrero's, and then go home, take a nap, and do it all over again. That's what a man does, you know, which we see on social media. It's a false representation of what life is like. And I just want to share that with those young men, because they can easily fall in that trap, try to get the fast, quick money, and end up in jail.
Freddie, I appreciate your time and all your efforts to do. Quick word again about the Young Men's Breakfast Symposium. How do people get involved in it? With it?
They can reach my office. Give me a call, 504-658-1030, freddie.king@nola.gov. Give all the information that they need.
What number were you at, Shaw? I'm just curious. What number did you wear?
I was number 92, class of 02.
All right. Good thing it wasn't 67 because that was my number, and you would have had to have worn that with honor. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. We'll take a break, come back, talk about West Nile virus and mosquitoes in St. Tammany Parish. Then we're going to spend some time talking with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, about LSU being a role on the recruiting trail. And then we'll wrap it up talking with Ian McNulty about eating and drinking. Big Friday. Glad you're with us. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.